Okay. Today is Daf Samaches. Today is Samaches. We are on Samach Zayin number B's. We are another story from Mar Ukva. We are another Sudaka story. Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva havi aniya b'shibubatei dahave rogel l'shidure le'arba me'ezuzi kol mal yom de kipuraya. Mar Ukva used to send 400 zuz to his ani, an ani that he knew about. It's a different ani than before. He used to send 400 zuz every Erev Yom Kippur. Why Erev Yom Kippur? It's the best time to get a chutz, no? Best time to do a mitzvah is Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Echad, one day, Shadrinu Nehele Biad Brei. He sent the money with his son. He was busy, he was tied up. He sent the money with his son. Asa, the son came. Amalei came back and told his father, Lo Tzarech. You know what? He doesn't need that money. Amar, my chazis, what did you see? So he says, Chazoy, I saw the kamezal fila yayin yashan, that they're spreading around old wine, which was to bring some aroma and some fragrance to the room. Poor people don't do that. Amar, mefune kule hai. So Mar Ukva said, he's such a mefune, this guy. I finhu vishadrinhu. I have to double the amount because, continuing with what we said before, that you have to give an oni his status. He obviously was a mefunak, therefore I doubled it. Kikanicha nafshe, when Mar Ukva was on his deathbed, as he was dying, Amar, he said, Aitzili chushbenai ditzdaka. Bring me my ledger, bring me the ledger of my tzedakah ledger, of all the tzedakah that I gave. Ashkach tahavik sivbe shivas alpe dinri tzianki. They saw that he had given 7,000 tzianki dinrim, so the name of a currency, a tremendous amount. Amar, he said, zvadoi kalili, my package is light. In other words, the mitzvahs I've done are small. And v'orcha rechikasa, but the journey is very long. So kam bizbize lepalge mamone, he gave half his money. He donated half his money to charity on his deathbed. So the Gemara asked, "Hechi Avid Hachi? How could he do that?" You're not allowed to give more than a fifth. How could he do that? So the Gemara says, "No, Hani Mili Michayim. That's only when you're alive. You can't give more than a fifth. Why? Because if you give more than a fifth, we're afraid Shema Yerim in the Chatzav. You yourself are going to become need charity. So the whole purpose, we don't want you to give charity to the point." Or spend money on a mitzvah to the point that you become a needy person. That's not the point of giving charity or doing mitzvot. But aval achar mitzvah, less one bob. But he's not going to be alive anymore. So the only thing he's doing really is taking away from his yarshim. He's entitled to do that. He can do whatever he wants. So, but the issue of being mevaz with Yosef Mechomesh did not apply. Okay, that is the end of Mar Ukva stories. More stories till the Mishnah. Then it's back to Ksuvas. Rabbi Abba Habi Tzayir Zuzei Bisudre. Rabbi Abba used to tie up the money in his kerchief, scarf. The shadilei lachurei, and he used to throw it behind. Umamtzi nafshayi lebe'anya, and then the anim used to come and grab that scarf and divide up the money. But umetzali enei miramoi, but he still kept an eye to make sure there's no tricksters there. That's what he still did. The Mefarshim explained. He still didn't see anybody who it was. That he didn't see. But just make sure there's no crooks over there. Rabbi Chanina, another story. Rabbi Chanina havi hahu einya da havi rogel l'shechure le'arba zuze kol ma'al d'shabasa. Rabbi Chanina had an ani in his town. He would send 4 zuz every Friday. Every Erev Shabbos. Yom Echad, the one day, shadrinhu nahale biyad debitzu. He sent it with his wife. He sent the $400 with his wife. Asi amrele lo tzarech. So she came home and said to her husband, you know, he doesn't need this money, this guy, this family. So listen to this. So my chazis, what'd you see? Before, when Mar Ukva's son came, was sent, he came back and said, what'd you see? And he said, I saw. Here, the husband says, my chazis, what'd you see? And she answers back, shmi, I heard. Because I didn't see anything. I don't know why, maybe she overheard. She overheard that the Havika Amri lay, that one of the family members was telling the other one, what should we use? How should we have a suda tonight? The tali kesef or the tali zahav? Should we use the silver tablecloth? Should we use the gold tablecloth? Like, what are we doing tonight? How do we want to set the table? Well, the poor people don't do that. Right? Poor people don't do that. So Tosfos asks, top Tosfos, so then he's going to answer back, there are crooks in the world. He tells his wife, listen, there are crooks in the world, people taking tzedakah, they don't need it. But Tosfos asks, Vaha delo aifinhu vishadrinu kimo marukva, why didn't he double it, like Marukva did? When Marukva saw the guy sprinkling wine, he doubled it. How come over here he says, there's crooks in the world? So the Gemara answers, Tosfos answers, Mishum dahanach devorim lo shayach pinuk. Nobody can be a mefunuk about what kind of tablecloth you're using. You can't say that he has to have such a tablecloth, even though we said yesterday that we had the story from the Kotzker, and Hillel, that story with the Eved was certainly an unnecessary hakpada. But Tosfos is saying over here, the guy says, what kind of tablecloth he uses? He's a mefunuk about that. That's not appropriate. Therefore, elavade asher hoya. He was obviously wealthy, right? So therefore, Hillel said, who is it? Rabbi Hanina. He said, it must be they're rich. And Hainu de Amar Rebbe Elazar, Ba'u v'nach zek tovu l'ramayim. It's a good thing that there are crooks in the world. It's a good thing there are cheats in the world. You know why? She'el malehain, because if not for the crooks, Hayinu chotin b'chol yom. We would sin every day. Listen to this. We would sin. Why would we sin every day? Shenemar, because it says v'kara elech alecha el Hashem, because the ani cries out to Hashem and says, nobody's giving me tzedakah. V'hayi b'chal chet, and it's a chet. Right, the full pasuk is in Devarim. Hisham alecha pen yiyeh davar im levavecha b'lial lemar karva shenas Hashem v'shenas Hashmita. Right, and you don't want to give, and the guy's going to cry out to Hashem. It's going to be a chet. So it's a good thing there's crooks in the world. Because if we don't give tzedakah to everybody that we bump into, and we can hang our hat and say, well, there's crooks in the world. So you hear this? You hear this, such a thing? So the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean there's crooks in the world? Hashem knows your machshava. Are you not giving tzedakah because you're scared he's a crook, or are you not giving tzedakah because you're a cheapskate? What do you mean? It's a good thing there's crooks, it's a good thing there's tricksters, it saves us from doing the chait. Because we can hang our hat on the fact that there are cheats. Hashem knows your intentions. How does that save you? So the Yaakov says, yeah. No, the point is that the ani, when the ani bumps into you and you don't give him anything, the ani thinks to himself, he's probably not giving me because he thinks I don't know who I am. So he thinks maybe I'm dishonest. So the ani understands that. That's what goes on in the world. There's dishonest aniyim, there's dishonest people. So the ani thinks to himself, you know why he didn't give me? It's not because he's cheap. He'd love to give me, but maybe he doesn't owe me. So maybe he thinks I'm a dishonest. Therefore, there is no v'kara el Hashem. The ani doesn't cry out to Hashem for that. He doesn't cry out to Hashem for that. Hashem doesn't bother you. That's all it means. En achinami, if you don't give because you're cheap or because you don't want to, that certainly is a chait. The point is, but the ani's not tying to Hashem about it. That's all. Now, V'tani Rabbi Chia Barav Midifti, Rabbi Shur Ben Karcha Omer, Kol Hama'alim Ein of Minat Tzedakah. If anybody hides himself from Tzedakah, meaning he doesn't give Tzedakah, Ki'ilu Ovid Avodas Kilchavim. It's as if he worshipped idols. Why should that be? With three reasons. Ksiv Hacha, it says over here, in this pasuk here by denying Anani, Hisham Alecha, Peni Yadavar Im Lavavecha Belial. The Ksiv Hasam, and it says over there by the Irani Dachas, Yatsu Anashim B'nei Belial. And the Mashah points out, these are the only two places in the entire Torah where it says the word Belial. Right, in Navi, it comes up all the time. Everyone's Anshei Belial, Navi. But in the Torah, these are the only two places. Ma lahala avodas kochavim, just like one place, Ir Nidachas is obviously talking about avodah zarah, afkan avodas kochavim. So to here, it's talking about avodah zarah, that if you don't give tzedakah, it's ke'ilu over avodah zarah. What's the connection? So there are three approaches. They're all very similar. The Arvei Nachal, the Maharal says, it's impossible to say that nobody would ever say, well, my fingers and my toes are not part of my body. I have fingers, I have toes, and then I have a body. That's ridiculous. You're one guf. So too, Klal Yisrael is one guf, and Klal Yisrael is one guf, and Klal Yisrael is one Hashem. So if you are, nobody would be cruel to their own body and say, well, it's only my finger. Nobody would say that. So if you're cruel to one Jew, it's as if you're denying the whole idea that there's one nation and one God. and therefore you're outside of that, and therefore it's a kilo of what avodah zarah. That's one approach. That's what the Maral says. The Yismach Moshe says that why won't you give tzedakah? Why won't you give tzedakah? Many times, most times, it's an issue of, not an issue of money, it's an issue of gaiva. So the Gemara says, call whoever's misgoy al chaverov kilo of avodah zarah. It's not different. And the third approach, which is the Alka Kershuni, the Shomer Munim, which is what we were thinking, instinctively what we were thinking, if you don't give to the whole purpose why Hashem gave us money is to do good with it. If you take the money that Hashem gave you and don't do good with it, you're denying that Hashem gave you the money for that purpose. So if you deny one part of Hashem, you're denying the whole thing. Kilo of avodah zarah. Those are the three reasons why you are what the connection between tzedakah and avodah zarah. Okay, we'll get to the Mishnah and then we'll talk. Tana Rabbanan, Hamasames Eino. If somebody makes himself like he's blind, meaning he can't see the Ani coming, he goes, I don't see him, I don't notice him. Or Vamitzav es Bitno, or he makes himself like a stomach problems, basically to engender pity that he should get money. Or Vahamakapeach es Shoko, or he makes himself look like he has a limp so that he could get money, right? He looks like such a Nebuch, and people want to give him charity. He's not going to leave this world until that's actually going to happen to him. Similarly, if somebody accepts tzedakah and doesn't need it, he won't leave the world until he needs it. So we said yesterday that if somebody doesn't need tzedakah and takes it anyway, we give it to him, and then after he dies, we take it back. But if somebody doesn't need tzedakah, takes it, he'll die poor. So how are we going to take it back after he dies? Not going to have anything left. You hear this? So I only have one answer to that question, which doesn't answer the question. Taflah says, no, that he makes a distinction between somebody who's a Ramai and someone who's just very, very cheap. Like we had yesterday, the guy doesn't, Rashi said it, the guy doesn't want to use his own money to feed himself. He's not tricking anybody, he's just extremely cheap. Such a person will give and will take it back. That's the klal is not on such a person like that. The klal is only on a Ramai. The clause on only a Ramai, you fool people. That guy yesterday wasn't fooling anybody. He said he's living in a big house, but the Tom Cheshavis shows up at the door. He's so cheap. Yet there are people like that. But he's not fooling anybody. Here, you're fooling people. So when you're fooling people, then the clause applies to you. And then maybe we wouldn't even give you if we knew about it. And then you'll die. That's the clause, that you'll die and you'll talk be in poverty. The Mishnah in Peah says, in order to be considered an oni, you have to have X number of available cash. If you don't have a certain number of available cash, you're considered an oni, and you're entitled to get money and get food from the kupa, from the poor plate. And you don't have to sell your house in order to get cash. You don't have to sell your bed. Whatever cash you have, cash is cash and property is property. You don't have to sell it to be able to have available cash. If somebody's using gold kalim, and now he's falling on hard times, so don't continue to use the gold kalim and claim you have no money. Sell the gold kalim. Who needs gold kalim? Change it for silver. You use silver, so change it for copper. And then you'll have extra cash. So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, "Amar Zvid lo kasha." No, ha the mitzvah v'shulchan. Depends if it's talking about a table and a bed. Ha the kofes v'ka'aros. But then it depends if you're talking about the silverware. Why? What's the difference? Amar Maishna. What's the difference? Kofes v'ka'aros. Nobody wants to exchange the silverware. Why? Delo the amar miisi li. Nobody wants to change this. Everybody's comfortable with the silverware. They don't want to have other silverware. They complain it's disgusting. So the Gemara says, "Shulchan mitav shulchan nami amar lo makabel ilavoi." I don't want to change my bed. I'm very comfortable in my bed. I like my bed. People don't go away because they don't want to leave their bed, right? So that's not a fair reason. So the Gemara says, "You're right." Amar Rava bered de Raba b'macharisha de kaspa. Now we're talking about. Let's say you have a plow tool made out of silver. Nobody can claim they have a special connection to that plow tool. That they can't use a different one. Buy a plate, someone could say that. Buy a bed, someone could say that. Nobody can say that about a plow tool. So if you have a plow tool, you're mechuyev to sell it. You have a silver one. You're mechuyev to sell it, buy a cheaper one, and then you have available cash, and the steer is resolved. Amar, if Papa Amar no lo kan, shatara kasha kan, kodim shavul de giboy, kan la'acha shavul de giboy. It depends if they're coming to collect from you or not. Rashi explains what this means is, let's say somebody took money from the kupa by mistake. They thought they didn't have enough, they really did. And it was a mistake. So Bezdin comes and says, please pay up. Such a person has to sell his stuff. That's because he made a mistake. That such a person has to sell his stuff to pay back the kupa. He took it by mistake. He took it wrongly. However, if you're poor, do you have to start selling your bed? No, you don't. Whatever cash you have, you have. You don't have to sell your stuff to make yourself more poor. Just for 2 minutes. So the Gemara said that if somebody passes by an oni, if somebody and pretends he doesn't see the oni, or he doesn't give to an oni, he looks the other way, so this terrible clause is going to happen to you. Right? What about, listen to this question. What about if the oni is not there? What if the oni is not there? How could the oni not be there? Let's say you get a tzedakah thing in the mail. Can you throw that out? Or is that considered ignoring the oni? Right? You have such a question? You never thought about that in a million years. Can you throw those things in the garbage? Or are you turning away from an ani? What's the difference if he's there or not? So, but before we get to that question, he says over here, so it's a machlokas. If the ani's not there, but there's a toveya, can you ignore it? But I believe we're makel about that. The Shevet HaLevi was machmir, but the Derech Emuna said that it's not true. You're not over anything if there's no ani, then you're for sure not over anything. Then he says, Vayim b'sefer oris tzedakah, b'shein bala kovetz b'tshuvas shaposhet she'ein shaposhet, I'm sorry, shaposhet she'ein adam chayev l'ftoach deles beso l'chol ha'mavakesh. You don't have to open your door to anybody that knocks. Kol she'ein yodea shemi shadovei k'petzach beso hu oni. Since you don't know if they're legitimate. You just don't know. You're not mechuyev to. Then he says, v'kein kasav shem sham b'shmo. He said the same thing. Shahamekabel bedoar michtav bakasha letzedakah. If you get something in the mail requesting charity, eino over belav kisha eino nosing. You're not over anything if you don't give. Why? Because, same idea. Then he quotes a story over here that the Kehilat Yaakov, the stipler, once asked Achiezer that al pidin kol ani hamavakish tzedakah tzarech litein lo. And then it comes, you got to give. And he said, Uma alav lasos, shebepetach beis hamedrash bevilna, rabo ani hamavakshim, but now that I'm in Vilna, there's so many. The ain biado liten klum. Can't give. Can't give everybody. So he answered back to the Achiezer, the Heshivu, Beheyoso Rav Beir Plonis, Hayinov Lahatim Shalom Lachal Adam. When I was in the small town, I used to give everybody. How many people were there already? But, Ukeshevala Vilna, when I came to Vilna, Hipsik Miminhago, I changed my minhag. Why? Kivin she'ena shaykh lahaktim shalom l'klum b'ir gadol kazeh. It wasn't possible. Couldn't open the door to everybody. There's so many of them. They ain't done an efshar mishi'i efshar. It's e efshar. What do you want? You can't. And then he ends off v'hu adin b'tzedakah. Same thing. Just one more question. Another question that always comes up that people think about is, what's better? Is it better to give a small amount of money to a lot of different people or larger sums of money to smaller people, to less people? So there's a famous Rambam about that. The Rambam said that it's better to give smaller amounts of money to a lot of people. Why? Because he quotes the Mishnah in Avos that says, Hakalafi Hamaisa. Hakalafi Hamaisa. So the more Maisim you do, the more you become transformed as a Jew, the more chesed you're doing. It's not easy sticking your hand in your pocket and giving somebody else. The more you do that, the more that changes you, and the more that makes you a better person. That was the Rambam's approach. The Sefer Hasidim and others had a different approach. And the approach was very simple. They didn't argue on that point. They're not arguing with the point that transformed you. They're arguing, but that does nothing for the oni. You give him $1, it does nothing for him. You give somebody, you give 1,000 people $1, what does it do for them? But if you give one person $1,000, that's a significant way to get this guy back on his feet. So they're both, no, the kids say what's right and what's wrong, you can see both sides. One is focusing on you, and one is focusing on the ani. Okay. Now we are, here we go. back to Mesechta Tuvas, back to Nedunya. We had a nice break, but we're back. It says the Mishnah. Yisoma shehetziasa ima o achia achaya midaito. If a girl doesn't have a father. Father died. So we know, midrabanan, the brother and her brothers and her mother, while she's a katana, have the right to marry her off. And they still marry her off. So if a mother or her brothers marry off a yisoma, the kasvula, and they write in there, b'meya o b'chamishim zuz, they write that they're giving her 100 or 50. We'll explain that in a minute. Yecholahi mishetagdil, she's entitled to, when she becomes an adult, lahotzi miyadan masheroyalihi nathimah. She's entitled to claim later, when she gets older, I'm entitled to more. No, if they wrote 100 and she's entitled for more, so certainly isn't she entitled for more if they wrote 50? Why does it say both? So I saw the Kol HaRamaz, the Tosfos Yom Tov has one shot, but the Kol HaRamaz is a much more fundamental pshat. He says, no, the word ksiva is only going on the 100. In other words, they wrote her one for 100, or they didn't write her anything. And we said the bare minimum is 50. So I would think if she gets the bare minimum, then how does she have a right to complain? That was the minimum. She got the minimum. The parents didn't give her a thing. So no, even there she's allowed to complain. She's allowed to complain. She's allowed to say to her mother and her brothers, you gave me too little. I am entitled to more. The estate can give me more. My father, had he been alive, would have given me more. He would have given me more. And she's allowed to say that. She got married and accepted it. The answer is, what a katana accepts is nothing. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no one's arguing now on what the Tanakhama just said. But now they're going to explain, so how do we know? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hisia es abas harishona, if the first daughter was married off, the father was alive still, and he married off daughter number one, right? So you're not saying Lishniya Kidaro Shanasin Lurishona, and now the father died, and now the second girl got married. So whatever the first girl got, the second girl should get. Why should it be any different? So the Chachamim, no, why? Pa'amim Sha'adam Ani the Ashir or Eshir V'Ani. Maybe he was rich then, now he's poor. Maybe he was poor then, and now he's rich. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know about that point. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't aware of that people's fortunes change. Right? He certainly was. The Gemara is going to address that. Ella, rather, shamin et hanachasim v'nosnin la. No, you know what we do? We evaluate, so listen, what's l'maisa, what's in the pot, what's in the estate, and then we give her a normal amount. So what are they arguing about? So the Gemara will explain that. Amar Shmuel, says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel says, l'parnasa shamin ba'av. When it comes to parnasa here, the whole daf, parnasa is going to mean nidunya, which is the dowry. How much does the girl come into the marriage with? When we evaluate how much the money the girl goes into the marriage with, it's done based on what the father would have given. Not on what the estate has, but what the father would have given, if we know how much he had, we know his personality, Rashi says he was generous, he was a cheapskate, if we know, we will give the girl what the father would have given. Right? Not what, well, let's see what the estate has, let's see what we can afford. No, because sometimes the father is more generous than his estate would be, and sometimes less so. So, whatever the father said. So the Gemara says, Meisve, wait a minute, how can that be true? Because we have a brisa that says, Habanos Nizonos, girls are supported. What does that mean, they're supported? They're supported. Umisparnasos, and they are supported. Right, two words. And they are supported. Minichse Avihen, from the father's estate. That means, Rashi explains, every ksuva had, that if a husband dies, his girls will be supported from the estate. Right, we said the boys not, because the boys can go knock on doors, but not girls. So girls will be supported from the estate. But there are two words here. Ketad, what does that mean? The girls are supported and the girls are supported. Two different words. Ein omrim, we don't say, ilu avia kayim, had the father been alive, kach v'kach l'yanos in-law. That's how much he would have given. We don't say that. We don't estimate the father's intent. We don't try to figure out the father's generosity. Ella, rather, shamen es hanachasim, we evaluate how much is here in the estate, v'nosdin la, and we give her an appropriate amount. My love, isn't that talking about Parnassas Habal? Isn't that talking about the dowry? And it's a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel said we evaluate the dowry based on the father's intent. And here we have a brisa that says we're basing the dowry on what the estate can afford. So the Gemara says, no, that brisa is not talking about the Amar of Nachman, no, but he says, no, lo, Parnassas Atzma. We're talking about supporting the girl herself. Because supporting a girl, that has nothing to do with the father's intent. It's, when he got married to his wife, he wrote in the ksuva, I promise to support my daughters. I don't care what your intent is. You're going to be the cheapest guy in the world. You have to support your daughters. So that support will be significantly tied to how much do you have. Nedunya, dowry, that have always went by the father's will and the father's rutzen. How much does he want to marry off his daughter for? So of course, that price means, of course that price means food. How much food are you going to give your daughters after you pass on? That's evaluated by how much the estate has. And the Gemara says, so the Gemara asked, ha, nizonos ufarnasonos katoni, but the Braisa has two words, support and support. Why say twice? So the Gemara answers, my love, doesn't that mean, achas parnasas habal, one is the dowry, the achas parnasas atzma, and one is the amount that she gets supported with? So the Gemara says, lo, idi v'idi parnasas atzma, they're both talking about how much she gets supported with, not dowry. V'lo kasha, why say it twice? Ha ba'achila v'shtia, ha bilavusha v'chisusia. One is food and one is clothing. Right? But it's always her, not the dowry. So Shmuel's statement still stands. Tanan, wait a minute, but our Mishnah said, v'chachamim omrim pa'amam sh'adam ani v'esher o asher v'ani. Sometimes a rich man can become poor and a poor man can become rich. So how can what you gave daughter number one have any bearing on what you give daughter number two? Ella, Shamahan Chasiv, Vinostin Law. So you rather, what do? You see what the estate can afford. And that was certainly talking about dowry, Nadunya. So the Gemara says, my honor, you my usher. What's rich and poor? What's rich and poor? E name ani bin Chasim, if it means you're really poor, and usher bin Chasim, and rich meant really rich. Michlal, the Tanakama Savar, that Rabbi Yehuda there held, Afilu usher v'ani kid be a kar Yavin Law. That no matter what happens, no matter what his fortunes were, daughter number two gets the same as daughter number one? Can that really be true? Halo Yavle, what if it doesn't have? I used to be a millionaire, now I'm not, so my daughter number, at the first chasana, I gave a big dowry. Now I don't have. So according to the Tanakhama, according to Yehuda, what was he saying? He said, whatever, you gave daughter number two, you gave daughter number one. And Rabbi Chacham said, well, maybe not true, because not everyone's always so rich, or always so poor. So Yehuda didn't realize that. That doesn't make any sense. How can you promise to give your daughter number two the same thing you gave daughter number one? Maybe your fortunes will change. So it can't mean Ani and Usher can't be literal. Ella, it's so it can't be literal. Ella lav Ani bedas. You know what Ani means? It means a cheapskate. His das, his personality is, he's like an Ani. Never has money, never can give. And what's Usher? Usher bedas. And Usher is someone who's a very generous guy. He might not be so wealthy, but he's very generous. Therefore, Vikatani. Vikatani shamedasana chasim vinostin la. And what do we say? We evaluate whatever the estate has, and then we give her. Right? Alma, what do you see from here? The chachamim hold lo as lina baser umdina. We don't care what the father's intent is. The chachamim there in the Mishnah say whether you're an ani or an asher, whether your fortunes change, we look at the estate. Can the estate afford a dowry? We give one. How much can it afford? Whatever it is, we give one. We don't care what the father's intent was. Umdun means the father's intent. We don't care what the father's intent was. All we care about is what the estate can afford. Kashan Shmuel. Shmuel said we evaluate what the father would have wanted. So the Gemara gives the obvious. The Yufta de Shmuel. It's a Kashan Shmuel. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer. No. Huda Amar Rabbi Yehuda. No. He goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said. Right, what did Yehuda say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda said, whatever you gave daughter number one, you give daughter number two. That's a code word for saying whatever the father would have wanted. His fortunes might have changed. Maybe his personality changed. He became a cheapskate all of a sudden. He used to be much more that could be. Maybe his fortune changed, all part of the factor. But how do we evaluate it? What the father would have wanted. And that's what Shmuel holds. So the Gemara says, Ihamar whatever you gave the first one, you give the second one. Maybe his fortune's changed? Fine, but that's part of the factor. Maybe he became cheap? Fine, that's part of the factor, but it goes by him. So So that's the machlokas in the Mishnah. The machlokas in who the Chacham is, how do you evaluate, when the father's not alive anymore, how do you evaluate how much to give? Is it what the father would have wanted, or what the estate could afford? That's the machlokas in who the Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, v'neima halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So why didn't Shmuel just say, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Why do you have to give this cryptic statement? I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara answers, I'm halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Had he said that, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, I would have thought, dafka hisia. Only when one daughter was once upon a time married. The goli daite. Because now we know where the father's leaning. We know he married off a daughter once, and we know where he told him. We know how much he wants to give A, B, C, whatever. We know already. There's precedent. Ava lo hisia lo. But let's say there was never a wedding yet. And now he passed away. So we don't know what his intent is. Kamashman, we do know what his intent is. Rashi explains, we know people. We know how generous they were when they were alive. So he doesn't have to have a precedent of a marriage. We all know how people are. And we all know what people want to give and people don't want to give. So we'll make the estimation by ourselves based on the father's personality. Time of Rabbi Yehuda does lean on Basar Umdana. So Rav Shmuel was saying, the whole issue of Rabbi Yehuda is you go what the father's intent was. Loshna Hisia, Veloshna Lo Hisia. It makes no difference whether or not he was married, whether or not he ever married off somebody. We still know what his intent was. V'hai Diktoni Hisia. So why did we say, why did the Mishnah have to say a case where Taka, there was a marriage once? Lodiach HaKochan DeRabbanon. To let you know how extreme the Rabbanon Shita is. The Afa Gafti Hisia. Even though there was a wedding once. Vigoli Daite, and we know what his intents are, because we know how fancy that wedding was, and we know what the nedunya of that wedding was, right? Nevertheless, lo was lina basar umdana. We do not care what the father's intent was at all. What do we care? How much money's in the estate? To say such an extreme, such opposites. They have such opposite opinions. Amalei Rava Rav Chista Darshinan Mishmach Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Should I darshin in public that that's how we pass on K'Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei Yei Rava Kol Mi Hani Mili Malisa Tadidrush Mishmi. Should be Hashem's will. All the beautiful words you should darshin over in my name. That's how we pass it. Fine. Now Umi Amar Rava Hachi. Did Rava really say that? That what? That we hold K'Rabbi Yehuda that it goes bus of the father. Is that really true? Vaha Tanya Rebbe Omer. Rebbe said, "Bas hanizonis mina achin, when a daughter is being supported by her brothers, no teles isur nechasim, she gets a tenth." And va'amar Rava hilchus akurebi, we hold like Rebbe. So wait a minute, Rava said we hold like Rebbe that you get a tenth, and Rava said we hold like Yehuda it goes after the father's intent. What's going on? So the Gemara answers, "Lo kasha, it's not a stira. Ha de imdina. It depends." The Rebbe and the Yehuda are saying the same thing. When we know what a father's intent was, we know what his intent was. Let's say he's still around. He's still alive. Or we know what his intent was. He wrote a letter. Whenever I marry off, whenever my daughters get married after I'm gone, I want to give XYZ. We know what his intent is. If we don't know what his intent is, we pick a number of a tenth. A tenth of the estate.
It's different than
Shmuel. Different than, what? No, now we're refining it. Shmuel was only talking about when we knew what the intent was. If we don't know, what?
No, we say Shmuel's not.
Wait, so what if we don't know? What if we don't know what his father's intent was?
And we would estimate.
What?
According to Shmuel, we would estimate.
We would estimate the value of the estate?
No.
A tenth. No, because we assume that... 3 lines ago, we said that we go after the father's intent. What if we have no way of knowing what that is? What if I said, everyone knows everyone's... What if we didn't know this guy? He never bought an aliyah. We don't know anything about him. We don't know anything about him. So what do? We assume it's a tenth. That's different than the Chacham who say it goes by what the current people are doing. Right? We assume it's a tenth. Even if in the world, people are giving a 20th. But we assume it's a tenth. We don't know what to do. So they're not arguing. When we know, we know. When we don't know, we make it a tenth. Hachinam Mistabra, that's Mistabra, that's the case. Why? The Amr of Adabar Ava, Maisa, there was a story. V'nasan la Rebbe echad mishmona mishnayim esar b'nechasim. And Rebbe gave a 12th. It's like, kashina hadadi, how could Rebbe give a 12th? El alav, shmamina hamda amdine, hamda lo amdine, shmamina. Right, when Rebbe knew, so he knew the guy wanted to give a 12th. We gave him a 12th. If we don't know, we have no idea what this guy is about, then we only give a tenth. Fine. Gufa, we just said, Amar Rebbe, Bas Hanizonis Min Ha'achin, a girl is supported from the brothers. And we said that's a tenth, right? V'nitzol notelas Iser Nechasim. She gets a tenth. Amalo, Amrulo, Le Rebbe, they told Rebbe, Lidvarecha, according to you, listen to this. Mishi Yeshlo Eser Banos. If somebody has 10 daughters, uben, and also a son, ein lo leben makom banos klum. The son's going to get nothing in this estate. Why? Because each daughter gets a tenth. So there's going to be nothing left for the son to yarshin. Everyone's going to be taking the dowry. So what was this question exactly? We already established that for the welfare of your daughters, we are uprooting Hilchas Yerusha. We already said that. That's not a chiddush. It's old news, right? For purposes of girls not having to be beggars, we will uproot Hilchas Yerusha and say that girls have to be supported. So what's he asking? What?
That halacha is by Mizonos.
Some say that's the question. That's by Mizonos. But who said by Nadunya? Which Mizonos, we said it's a chiyuv, we don't want you. So they'll have to marry different kinds of boys with a very small dowry. Okay. Some say that's the question. Some say no. He's just trying to flesh out the story here, because we're going to get to a result that you're not going to think of. So Amalhen Kachani Omer. No, don't worry about the boy. He's not going to be so bad. You know why? Because Rishonu Noteles Isur Nechasim. The first girl will take 10%. Shnia Bamesh Shaira. The second girl takes 10% of what's left. Not 10% of the whole thing. 10% of what's left. Shlish is B'mesh Yeshayra. The third girl takes 10% of what's left. V'chazeres, 1 second. So how much is that? So the art school said that's 65%. If the first one takes 10%, then the second one is 100. So the first one takes 10. The second then is 90. Now the second one takes 9. Right? It'll end up being 65%. I didn't do the math. Is that true? I didn't do the math. So there's still 35% for the brother, for the boy. He's not totally left without any Yerusha at all. They're still left for him. So the Gemara says, a very interesting line, V'chozeres v'choleket b'shava. Then all 10 girls take, each one took 10%, right? All 10 girls put all their 10% back into the pot, and then it's divided up evenly. It's divided up evenly, right? So, why should that be? Called chada v'chada d'nafshe shakla. That each one took a portion. Why are they doing that? So the Gemara says, "Hachi ka'amar im ba'u kulan lehinase ka'achas cholakas b'shava." Now they all got married at the same day. The unbelievable 10 mazel tov. They all got married at the same day. So they all come to the estate at the same day. So whoever runs to the courthouse steps first gets more. Why should that be? That's not fair. Therefore, they do it. They take out 10% and 10% 10 times, and then they divide that up 10 equal parts. Maybe the wedding won't be the same day. But they can get engaged in the same day. Actually, once went to a double wedding, which I think is very unusual. Okay. Messiah Lila Rav Masna, the supports of Masna, the Amar of Masna, im bol, you not say kulam, if they all show up together, noteles isur echod. They take 1/10. They take 1/10. No, Ella, Notelas, Isur, Ke'echod. They take a tenth as one, meaning what we just said. The first one takes 10%, and the second one, and the third one, and then they have the whole pot, then they divide that up into 10 equal parts. But don't worry, we didn't uproot the Hilchas Yerusha Lagamri. There's still something that's going to be left over for the boy. Fine. Next. Tana Rabbanan. Habanos, girls, daughters, Bain Bagru, whether they became adults, Ad Shalonisu, but they didn't get married yet. So now they have Das. We started off by saying that in the Mishnah, the question was, there's no Das. These girls, when you're a katana, and your mother marries you off and gives you a lousy Nadunya, you're allowed to grow up and complain about it, and come to the estate for more. You're allowed to do that. But what if here, when she already became an adult, but she's not married yet, she's looking for a shidduch, but she became an adult, or Ubain Nisu, or she got married, Achlo bagru, she didn't grow up yet. Ibdu mizonoseihen. In both cases, there's no longer any duty on the estate to support the girls. Either they married, let the husband do it, or they became adults. The din that we don't want girls to go begging is only when they're ketanos. Once they become adults, they're on their own. That's the halacha. But the lo ibdu parnasasan, but they still have not lost their dowry. The dowry they could still get. That's a chiluk. Divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rav Shurim ben Elazar Omer, no, af ibdu parnasasan. They even lost their dowry. So if a girl, once a girl turns 12 and a half, and she's now a bogeres, an adult, she can no longer claim any nedunya from the estate.
Not even the minimum?
Well, the minimum might be imposed regardless. At the very end of the Amr, we're going to say that a father can say, I don't want to leave my daughters a thing. And that's binding. So there's a whole huge machlokas if it's a girsa problem. But let's assume that to have whatever kind of personality you want to be. Either we'll give her the minimum or we won't give her the minimum. Okay. But either way, so ketzad hein osos. So what should they do? What should they do? They want to get married, and once they turn 12 and a half, they're going to lose that nedunya. Because according to Rav Shurim ben Elazar, there is no nedunya once they turn 12 and a half. So what should they do? So chos lehen bailam, they better hire themselves out some husbands. Right? And then, umotzi lehen parnasasan. Once they get themselves a husband, they'll be able to, and they're not 12 and a half yet, they'll be able to make a claim for dowry. Right? They're under the clock. They're under the clock, going to head. They're under the clock. So that's the thing. They'll hire themselves out. In other words, so I'm not sure how to show what that means. They'll try to find the husband. I'll work for you, husband. You'll marry me when I turn 12 and a half. But now you'll start the lawsuit to get my dowry. And a husband will want to do that because let's say it's a very rich estate. So he'll get a nice amount, right? Amr of Nachman, Amr Lihuna, Hilchazak Rebbe. The Hilchazak Rebbe, we paskin like Rebbe. That what? That she does not lose the dowry when she turns 12 and a half. She still gets it. Eish Rav Lor of Nachman, wait a minute. How could you say that we hold like Rebbe? Yisoma Shitz Yuha Amma Ochi Amidaita. Our Mishnah said, if Yisoma gets married off by the brothers or the mother, the Kosvalo Meo Chamishim Zuz, and they write in there 150, Yichol Lehisha Tagdil, Lehotzi Miyad, Namasharay Lehi Nothingla. When she becomes an adult, she's allowed to complain, I'm entitled to more. Taima, the whole reason she's allowed to complain is because diktana ha diktana. Because when this happened, she was a ktana. Ktana can't be mochel, she has no das. So she can't say I'm happy with this nedunya. When she grows up, she can complain. Ha gedola, once she becomes an adult, vitra. She's mevater it. In other words, she waived it. She's waived her right because she became an adult. So Rebbe, how could you say that an adult could still get a dowry? Our mission implies no. So Gemara answered, lo kasha, it's not a kasha, ha demichai, ha delo michai. The question, did she protest or not? If she protested, Rashi says, ha da amar Rebbe lo ibdu, that which Rebbe said, she doesn't lose her ksuva, her nedunya, the amar Rav Huna halachas akavasei, bishamichisal moser isur nechaseha. When she protested, right? When do we say she's mevater, where she doesn't protest? So if she protests, of course she doesn't lose it. She protested. That makes sense. The issue is about protesting. The imkain kasha the Rebbe ad the Rebbe. Rebbe himself would make no sense. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, bas hanizonos mina achin. So tell us, it's an achasim. If a daughter that is being supported by the family, she gets a tenth. Right, she gets a tenth, but we said she gets a tenth of nizonos, a tenth of what's nizonos? We've been saying all along that's really from food. It's not nedunya. Nizonos in, I'm sorry, right now tell us iser nechasim. Nizonos in she and nizonos low. Right, if she support nizonos in food yes and not food not. So 1 second, what's that kasha? Right, so Rashi says that. Oh, it's only by a katana. It must be, the distinction is, whether or not there's a protest, shmamina, that's right. That's the question. Now, Omar, Amar le Ravina le Rava. Amar le Rav Ad bar Ava Mishmacha Mishmecha. Rav Ad bar Ava said in your name Rava that Bagra, if she's a Bulgaret, ainot smicha limchos. She doesn't have to protest. Why? It's automatic. It's built in. Or nisiyeh, and if she's married, ainot smicha limchos. She doesn't have to protest. Why? Because even though she's a naira. Because in either way, we're going to assume you did not give up your rights to protest. But Bagra v'niseis, but if you're an adult and you got married and you didn't say a word, we're assuming you waived it. So therefore, tzricha limchos. You have to protest. So the Gemara says, "Mi amar Rava hachi v'ha esvei Rava l'Rav Nachman." But Rava asked Rav Nachman, wait a minute. Yisoma, Rava asked Rav Nachman above the following question. A Yisoma that comes that from our Mishnah. The Yisoma that got married off, right? And obvious over there that only a katana, not a gadola. And umashani, what would we answer above? 10 lines above? Halamachi, halamachi. The question is all about protesting. So what do you see? That a naira must protest. And Rava said it doesn't have to, it's automatic. So the Gemara says, lokasha, hadaka, mitazna, minayhu, hadala, mitazna, minayhu. No, they know what the difference is? Rava explains, you know why she doesn't protest? Not because she's waived it. But over there, the family's supporting her, even though she's married. They're still supporting her. They're giving her food, even though she's married. Rashi says she's so embarrassed. What's she going to do? She's going to complain about her dowry. How can she complain about her dowry? They're supporting her. She's already married. So therefore, not that she waived it, she just can't. That's the difference. But it's not a kasha on Rava. Amar Huna, Amar Rebbe. Parnasa ain't a kitnai ksuva. A parnasa... Dowry is not like a Tanai Ksuva. What's a Tanai Ksuva? Tanai Ksuva is that girls have to be supported from their father's estate. My ain't a Tanai Ksuva. What does that mean? Enam, if it means Ilu Parnasa, Tarfim Mishabde, for a dowry, we will collect from only from Mishabadim, Vitanai Ksuva Lo Tarfim Mishabdi, and we won't collect Ksuva, we won't collect these Zonos from the dowry, from Mishabadim, my Kamashalon. What's this Kiddush saying that? Hamaita Bechoyom. That's every day that goes on. Motzi and Parnas, Levi Motzi and Limazonos. We will extract money from a third party's purchaser for a dowry, but not for an Zonos. Why not? So Rashi explains, because then nobody would ever buy property. Because I'm going to buy property, then what's going to happen? The owner's going to die, he has 12 girls. And I don't know how long they're going to stay single, they're going to take it away from me. But if a guy has 12 girls, so I know, because how much dowry is going to be for 12 girls? The Zonos is so up in the air, nobody's going to buy property. That's how that can be. The Chiddush. El Adilu Parnasa Gavi Anami Metaltali V'tanak Suvim Mekarkoi Gavi Taltai Lo Gavi. Maybe it's only that from Parnasa you can only collect from Metaltalin also, but from Knaik Suvim, no Metaltalin? Not true. Lu Rebbe Idi V'idi Megavi Gavi Tanya Echad Nechassam Sheish Lamechayis V'echad Nechassam Sheein Lamechayis Motziyin Lubazam Isha Ulubanos Divrei Rebbe. Ella, what's the difference? Ella, my parnasa and the kinei ksuva. What does that mean? Look at the tanya. Omer al yizona benotzav minachasav. If someone says, "I don't want to support my daughters when I die. I don't want them to take the estate." Ain't shomelo. We don't listen to that. But al yiparsena benazonos minachasav. What if somebody says, "I don't want to give my daughters any dowry"? Shomelo. We will listen. Shara parnasa and the kinei ksuva. Parnasa and kinei ksuva are not the same. What does that mean? There's a big gears to change over here. We'll try to start off with that tomorrow. Everybody have a very good day.